Bible prophecy is a very interesting study. It seems as when we go through it, it is hard to remember all the details. And so when we go through it, it seems like it's the first time that we're going through it, because it's hard to think and put everything in order that the Bible puts in order. There's a ton of detail when you study Bible prophecy. We have learned in this series that Revelation was written, and it was written with three divisions in it. One was for John to write the things which he had seen. He did that in Revelation chapter 1 when he recorded who Jesus Christ is. He had seen Christ, he had been with Christ for 3 years, and he writes about that in Revelation chapter 1. Secondly, he was to record the things which are. And in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he writes about the seven churches from Asia Minor. And he gives us some pros, some commendation about them. And he gives us some cons or some condemnation about them. Things that they need to change and we can learn from those seven churches. Though that's not the focus of our study in this series. Then he writes to John and he says, "Write thou the things which shall take place hereafter." Speaking of the things that would take place in the future. And Revelation chapter 4 through Revelation chapter 22 are those things. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that outline?" Revelation chapter 1, verse number 19, gives us that outline as God gives John exactly what to write down for us. Thus far, in our study on Bible prophecy, we have learned that the next event on God's calendar, the very next thing to happen, is the rapture of the church. The catching away of the bride of Christ into glory to be with Jesus forever. And as we've learned from the scriptures in past weeks, there's nothing holding that back. Only God himself telling Christ, "Now's the moment," is holding that back. It's the next event on God's calendar. And when it takes place, if you're a believer in Christ, you will be caught away into the skies with Jesus and be with him forevermore, the Bible says, in heaven. Thank God for that truth this morning. If you're not in Christ, the rapture of the church will kick off, will be the event that sends into motion the Great Tribulation. In our study of the Great Tribulation, we've learned about the seven seals. The seven seals are those seals that John or Christ looses from the book, I should say, and he opens them and he reads what are in those seven seals. In the first seal, the Antichrist is revealed. The Bible says that that person will come as a conqueror, coming forth to conquer. It's not speaking of Jesus. It's speaking of the Antichrist. In the second seal, there will be wars and rumors of wars as the Great Tribulation begins. In the third seal, there'll be a great famine. Due to the loss of money, it'll take a day's wages to purchase a day's worth of food, and the world will change dramatically. In the fourth seal, when Christ looses the fourth seal of the book, 1/4 of the world's population will be destroyed. If we took 3 continents off the map, we still had not taken away 1.8 billion people. If the tribulation were to start today, that would lose their lives when the fourth seal is opened. That's quite dramatic. In the fifth seal, there's no rider on the horse, but it speaks of those that are saved in the tribulation and those that are saved that are persecuted and actually their lives are taken and they face martyrdom. The fifth seal talks about that. In the sixth seal, there'll be a great earthquake. These are just the first 6 judgments that the Bible reveals that will take place during the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation being a period of just 7 years. So as we look at end times, we have the rapture of the church. That's the next event on God's calendar. Believers will be raptured out. Those that are saved and in Christ will go up to be with Jesus forever. And then 7 years of Great Tribulation. In the sixth seal, there'll be a great earthquake. The sun will become black. The moon will turn red. The stars will fall to the earth. Every mountain and every island will be moved according to the scripture. Stability of the earth as people know it today will be gone. The natural laws that we wake up with every day without thinking about will no longer be in place. It'll be a frightening time. The great men of the earth in the sixth seal, the kings, the rich, the chief captains, every bondman and every free man will hide in dens and rocks and say, "Mountains fall on us," after just the sixth seal. The seventh seal is the beginning of the next 7 judgments, called the 7 trumpets, that we're going to look at this morning. There's a span here. There's a silence in heaven for a half an hour, the Bible says, and I believe that we can take that literally. I believe that we take the book of Revelation literally as it's written. And so there's a silence in heaven for a half an hour, and then things begin to move. Some writers call this the calm before the storm. In the scriptures, trumpets are used to make an announcement. Trumpets are used to sound a warning. Trumpets are used to begin war. They're used in worship. A trump will sound when Christ comes back and believers go up with him in the rapture. But when these trumpets sound, judgment will come upon the earth like never before. Notice before the seven trumpets sound in Revelation chapter 8, another angel comes and offers incense upon the altar in heaven with the prayers of all the saints. Remember the martyrs in the previous passage come before God and say, God, when are you going to avenge those that have executed us, those that have martyred us? And now in Revelation chapter 8, an angel comes and he comes to the altar, the scripture says, and he has a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The angel takes that censer in verse number 5 of our text, fills it with fire of the altar, and casts it onto the earth, the Bible says. And when he casts it upon the earth, as the seven trumpets are about ready to sound, what takes place on the earth are voices, are thunderings, are lightnings, and are an earthquake. Before any of the seven trumpets sound, this is what's taking place in heaven, and the censer is thrown to earth full of fire. There's no stability in nature. The people have already experienced in the first six seals famine and war and economic disaster and 1/4 of the world's population being destroyed. And now on the brink of the seven trumpets being sounded, now there's voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What is going to take place next? First trumpet sounds in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 7. The Bible says the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. In Joel 2, it talks about this in the Old Testament as the prophet looked hundreds of years in advance and could not see all the details, but he could see, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fires and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord will come. Some will say, preacher, this is not literal. This hail and fire and blood could be translated into maybe other things. Study the book of Exodus and the 10 plagues. And tell me in the book of Exodus when Israel and Egypt experienced the 10 plagues of God, whether or not it was literal. Because what you'll find in the trumpet judgments is many of the plagues that were pronounced in Exodus chapter 9 and 10 are actually going to come back in the great tribulation during the trumpet judgments. These are literal things that are going to take place, my friend, and God is taking time to warn us. A loving God, some people would say, could not bring himself to pour out this kind of judgment on people. Study the God of the Bible. Listen to me this morning. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of long-suffering. He's a God of grace. But hear me well this morning. He's a God of judgment as well. And he's a God of justice. And his justice, he cannot be consistent in his character if he overlooks sin and overlooks sin forever. There comes a time when God says, that's it. My grace is over. My long-suffering is over with you. My mercy is over with you. And now my judgment will pour out upon you. That is the time of the great tribulation. If you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ, he is a God of mercy. He is a God of long suffering. He gave his son for you. He gave his son on an old rugged cross so that your sins might be forgiven. But please don't play games with that. Please don't play Russian roulette with that. Please don't procrastinate. Please don't presume upon his grace and think that you'll have another day of it and another year of it and think that sometime on your timetable you'll get right with God, because there comes a time, and I believe it's drawing near, that God says, no more mercy,
No more grace. No more long suffering. Now my judgment will be poured out. And so the first trumpet is a time where he burns up one third of the grass and trees in the world. I don't know if you've thought about the effects of that, but we enjoy grass. We enjoy our trees. We use our trees. Some of you burn wood. Take one third of the trees off the earth in the Great Tribulation and see how it affects the world. Can you imagine the news broadcasting the fire starting all over the world? And this fire is mingled with hail. Those are two kind of oxymorons. And this fire is mingled with blood. Today, it hits the news if we have a fire out in California and it's destroying thousands of acres. Take fires all over this world that are destroying one third of all the grass and trees on the world. Put that across the news. See how it affects people. Can you imagine looking out your house window to see hail, fire, and blood mingled together as it comes to this earth? The second trumpet in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed." A third part of the sea will turn to blood. Our drinking water, a third part of it will be gone. A third part of the creatures that have life will die at the second trumpet when it sounded. A third part of the ships in our world will be destroyed according to the scriptures. International trade and shipping will be greatly hindered. Drinking water will be a problem. Not to mention the fear that people will face. Ships, a third part of them will no longer exist after the second trumpet. The third angel sounds in Revelation chapter 8, verse number 10. "And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers." The seas are affected in the second trumpet. The rivers are affected in the third trumpet. "And the fountain, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." People are drinking bitter water at the third trumpet, and many men are dying. Now think about this. As people are drinking water and they're dying, what's it going to do to other people? I don't want to drink water. I don't want any of that. Can you imagine what will be taking place upon the earth as the third trumpet sounds? The fourth trumpet sounds in verse number 12. "The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound.' A third part of our heavenly lights are smitten, so that a third part of them are darkened." It means one third of our day will no longer have light. It means the night will be dark without any light. If we lost a third part of our daylight in the winter, it would decrease from 10 hours a day to 6.5 hours a day. In the summer, it would go from 14 hours to 9.5 hours. What kind of effect will this have on people? In Luke 21, verse number 25, it says, "Upon the earth it'll be a distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing themselves for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." That's what kind of effect it'll have on people. After the fourth trumpet sounds, the Bible says there's an angel that flies in the midst of heaven. And he flies saying this, "Woe, woe, woe. There are three more trumpets yet to sound. And those three trumpets, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." Have they not already faced enough? Are not six seals and four trumpets, those 10 judgments, are they not enough upon the earth? But the angel sounds after the fourth and goes through heaven and says, "They ain't seen nothing yet. Brethren, if you're without Jesus this morning, or you're doubting your salvation, or you would say, I am not sure of heaven, I urge you this morning to take the cross of Christ seriously and come to Jesus today, because what is coming you don't want to be a part of. The fifth trumpet is in chapter 9. Verse number 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's people that are without Christ in the great tribulation. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them. They should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. It goes on to describe them as having tails like unto scorpions in verse 10. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, that's Satan himself, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past. That's the fifth trumpet. Two woes are still to come, according to verse number 12. This is a bad time. Turn over your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. What are these locusts? I want to argue this morning that they are demons in the form of locusts that are loosed from the bottomless pit. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus arrives at the country of the Gadarenes, and he went and he met a certain man that had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? Speaking to the demon. And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him. Who's the they in verse number 31? It's the devils. They besought him, that's Christ, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. If you study that word deep, it's the same word bottomless pit that's used 11 times in the book of Revelation. Those devils besought, they begged Christ, please do not send us to the bottomless pit. Now in the fifth seal, a key is given to an angel. We believe it's a fallen angel. He goes down and he opens up the bottomless pit, and locusts come out of the pit. How would you like to meet a locust that is in the shape of a horse, prepared unto battle, with the face of a man, the teeth of a lion, the hair of a woman, and is out to torment the people on this earth for 5 months, to the point that men want to die, but they can't die. They would like to just finish it. Lord, just end my life. But they can't find a way to end their life, as these locusts are loosed from the bottomless pit, and the fifth trumpet is sounded. Sobering, isn't it? We can't hardly imagine anything like it. And you don't want to imagine anything like it. As we study the Scriptures, they have freedom. Do you understand how much? Are you listening to me, believers, this morning? Do you understand how much God is withholding demons back today? You understand that during the Great Tribulation, He says, have your power. If you're letting the devil as a Christian perch on your shoulder over some things, you better beware. Because he has power. You're playing with the devil over things in your life. You think you're getting away with things privately. You think that you're going to live your life in opposition to God and God's going to wink at it. You better get a real hair-raising warning this morning. That if God looses and lets demons and devils have impact in your life, this is what the end result is like. The sixth woe. The sixth trumpet, I should say. The second woe, Revelation chapter 9, verse 14. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Wait, we've already lost a quarter of the world's population back in the fourth seal. Now, in the sixth trumpet, the second woe, one third of the world's population that's left will die. Let's read about this. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their threats of thefts, I should say. Here, God says, four angels in the Euphrates, you're loosed. Bring up 200 million horsemen. And they'll breathe fire and brimstone and smoke. And they'll kill a third part of this earth. It's as if God restrained these 200 million horsemen for that hour and that day, that his judgment might be poured out upon this earth. When God looses the demons, brethren, this world will never see. They've never seen what they will see in that day. It's good for every believer to study prophecy, to get a real understanding, to be shocked into having our eyes wide open as to the firepower of Satan and his arsenal. You, my friend, as a believer, are no match, and neither am I. We're no match for Satan. We're no match for his demons. We'd never better not give any place in our lives to the devil. And so, if you take the fourth seal and the sixth trumpet, each of these would be like 200 of the world's worst disasters occurring at the same time. How will men respond to this? According to the scripture, they'll harden themselves against God. Say, God, you pour it all out. But we will not repent. It says in the scripture. Brethren, that's a fearful thing. Could it be that there's somebody here facing the judgment of God on a much smaller scale? But in your heart you're saying, I will not repent. I want you to understand that when we don't repent, God doesn't back off. God's not intimidated by somebody that shakes their fist in his face and says, I will not. By the way, America's going there. We're living there. We're saying we will not repent. My mind was in horror as they sat upon the Supreme Court steps this week after that judgment had been made and people living in opposition against biblical marriage saying, God bless America. Dear God, help us. We're in deep trouble. We're saying, I will not repent. And God's saying, you mark it down. My judgment's coming down upon you. We're not in the great tribulation. There's a pause in chapter 10. There's a parenthesis. That parenthesis deals with another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He has a little book opened. He talks about in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the seventh trumpet in verse number 7. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants of the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Here the seventh trumpet represents all the rest of the judgments that are going to come out upon the earth in the last 3.5 years, all the way up to when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom in the millennial reign of Christ and the battle of Armageddon that precedes that, and we'll talk about that in future weeks. There are 7 thunders that are sealed in this 10th chapter. You can read about this at the beginning of chapter number 10. Look at verse number 3. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. So we've had 7 seals. The 7th seal kicked off the 7 trumpets. We've walked through the 7 trumpets this morning. And then John says there's 7 thunders, as he hears about in chapter 10. In verse number 4, and when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. If judgment isn't bad enough already, John gets ready to write about 7 more. And as he's about ready to write, he hears a voice from heaven, the scripture says, and says, seal those things up. I don't want the world to even know what those 7 thunders are going to be. We find that in chapter number 10. There are 2 witnesses that come to earth in the last 3.5 years as you study chapter 10. We believe one is Elijah. Some say the other is Moses. Some say the other is Enoch. I'm not here to debate that this morning. But the 7th angel sounds in chapter 11, verse number 15. And when that 7th angel sounds, the 7th trumpet, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Satan has ruled this world in one sense. But at the 7th trumpet, time is coming to an end for Satan's rule. The last 3.5 years will take place. And then Jesus Christ, from the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will be King of kings and Lord of lords and will reign over this world. And those that are with him will reign with him in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And as the 7th trumpet sounds in heaven, the picture becomes clear. The time is short for the judgments of God to be poured out, to where Jesus Christ will not just come back in the clouds at his second coming, but when he comes back, he will destroy all the armies of the earth at the battle of Armageddon. He will plant his feet on this earth, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And Satan will be bound. The trumpets end with a great declaration that the end is here. I close the message this morning and ask you 2 questions. Could it be that someone here this morning, maybe by way of internet, maybe by way of being under the sound of my voice, hears of this impending judgment? How far could it be away, preacher? A week? Before the Great Tribulation starts? The rapture takes place in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as you can blink your eye. After the tribulation, the Antichrist is revealed, and things begin to move down the road of the 7 years of great tribulation. Impending judgment is coming. Could it be that you have heard the gospel, and over again, you have remained unbroken and unrepentant? You've said, I know better. You've said, I don't need God right now. You have ignored and suppressed God out of your life, and I'm drawing you this morning to a Savior. Drawing you to the conclusion of the message that Jesus died on the cross for you so that your heart would turn to Him in faith and repentance and be saved. Could it be you're a believer this morning, you're playing games with the devil? You're playing hide and seek. You're flirting with him. You're letting him sit on your shoulder, speak in your ear, influence your thinking. I say to you this morning, kindly but firmly as a preacher, you're messing with something you better not mess with. You better stop. You better stop today. You're no match. You've let him have a stronghold. You've given him the keys to your heart. Say, here, devil, go ahead. Take the keys of my heart. Have any place that you want. You let him have your eyes. You let him have your tongue. You're too proud to humble yourself before God. And he keeps striking. And you keep feeling the pain. And I say, why would you do that? As a believer, why wouldn't you stop this morning? Say, I'm not playing games anymore. Rededicating my life to my Savior. Not going to let him have his way with me.